I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the story behind the story, truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and apparently the very rude mainstream media. And we cut through the ridiculous two-party propaganda. Welcome to Central Mississippi's safe space, a little island of independent thought here. Today is it's Thursday. We have Ron Morris in next hour from the Libertarian Party. He's the head of the Libertarian Party here. We're going to talk about, take a look at the midterms and just the political landscape. I've got some stuff to go over with him. I'll tell you the truth. I kind of need to bring somebody into the studio because I do believe from time to time as I decipher the news that I believe I may have possibly gone completely insane because I can see the world so dramatically different than so many people. I don't remember what the saying was. I think it's Mark Twain said, as soon as you realize you're with the majority, you realize you're wrong, or it's something along those lines. I'll have to look that up. I think I just butchered that saying. I take some comfort in that idea because I see things so dramatically different than other people, and I'm just looking around and feeling a little crazy myself. So maybe Ron will be able to sit in here and tell me where I've got things wrong. Always happy to hear that. Phone lines here, 601-879-0002. That's the Mazda of Jackson phone line if you want to join the show today. So life begins after the midterms, and boy, did it take off. It's like a shot. News is breaking. Now, we can spend some time today talking about Jim Acosta being a jerk and Trump scolding him, and I can play the clip, but I'm sure everybody's going to do that, and it was an interesting moment to be sure, but it's a bit of a yawner to me. Of course, Acosta is a jerk, and he's got a vendetta against Trump. I do not find Jim Acosta to be at all professional, but I got to tell you, see, I always try to look at these things from somewhat of an objective point of view. Can you imagine how excited, can you imagine how the news would flip on its head had President Hillary Clinton been elected and somebody from Fox News was going after Hillary Clinton the way that Jim Acosta is going after Donald Trump? That's not to encourage or support what Jim Acosta does. He's an incredibly self-righteous, he has a very an inflated sense of self, which really kind of negates any positive impact he could have. This is largely about Jim Acosta. He has found some celebrity status in this. Anybody who gets in the national spotlight like that, he is the foil to Trump's war on the media. He is filling that role. He's doing it almost as an actor thing. He realizes that feels that he's representing the press, and Donald Trump is able to rally his base by going after the press. This is kind of a natural outcropping of the political back and forth between the media and the Trump administration. His press credentials are now pulled. I don't really see any problems with that as long as CNN itself was not shut out, that CNN was not shut down. I can't stand the CNN. I can't tell you the last time I turned on CNN to get any particular news. It is way down the list. If everybody else is on commercial and I'm really curious and I don't have long, I might go to CNN at some point, but would you want to see Fox News shut down? If Hillary Clinton was president and a Fox News supporter actually grew a pair and was able to go after the Hillary Clinton, just think of the corruption that people have put up with on the Clinton, the whole Clinton crime family that's gone on, and nobody holds them accountable. The media is supposed to be adversarial to people in power. Jim Acosta is doing this on a personal vendetta. His points are terrible. He's obviously part of a network that has painted the president unfairly and does not report the news but tries to make the news now. But a free press is supposed to hold our representatives' feet to the fire, and I will submit to you that while Jim Acosta is not doing this correctly, and we know what his motivations are, and I'm fine seeing him gone, and you know, to be honest with you, listening to Trump's press conference yesterday, he was trying to do a little bit of that tone that I say would have really served him well. He's making that move. I think Trump has realized that he needs to soften his tone a little bit. And he was trying to do that, and Acosta went after him and riled Trump up, and then they got into a bit of a verbal scuffle, and then actually a scuffle with the staffer. Not a scuffle. I think that's hyperbole. But, you know, Trump was trying to be pretty calm. Even after making a few comments when Jim Acosta started his talk, Trump went back into being kind of and trying to engage Jim Acosta kind of matter-of-factly, but Acosta just wouldn't take that. So he's been kicked out of the White House. This is just a long, wordy way to say, I am no fan of Jim Acosta, can't stand CNN. But, you know, the media has fallen down on its job for so long to actually hold people accountable. What we get out of the mainstream media, by and large, do you want to know why the Obama administration and even the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, do you want to know why they get away with so many of the things they get away with? It's because the media is compliant to those authorities. The independent, tough investigative reporter is an endangered species now. You certainly don't find it at the major networks. You do have people like Project Veritas going out and doing undercover stuff. You've got Glenn Greenwald at The Intercept actually investigating things and bringing out real corruption within the government. And Glenn Greenwald does it from the left a little bit, but he calls out leftists, and you've got Project Veritas coming at it from the right. But these are essentially kind of alternative media, fringe media. The mainstream media should have been holding our elected leadership, and our elected representatives. I will not call them leadership. They are leading us. Well, they are leading us off a cliff, but I don't think they deserve the title leaders. The mainstream media should be adversarial to power. Now, you don't have to be rude. You don't have to be a jerk about it, but you should be dogged about it. There's so many things in this world that the establishment in politics has gotten away with that never should have been allowed to happen. And if you had a truly free, independent, investigative, tough press, they probably wouldn't have. Hillary Clinton's political career would not still be standing if you had a real media out there. The other news that's no shocker is that Jeff Sessions stepped down at the request of the president. I saw that they've printed his resignation letter. I have not read it yet. Now, I'm happy to see him go. I'm definitely not a Jeff Sessions fan. What happened to I've been told for 2 years now that Jeff Sessions has been working behind the scenes covertly. While it seems like he's being quiet, he's actually busting up all of this corruption and pedophilia, and there's all of these sealed indictments from the Justice Department that Jeff Sessions has been heading up. Is that off the table now? And I've continually told people who tell that to me, I said, I'd just like to see a little evidence. Pardon me if I'm so cynical and jaded that I just do not take on faith that all of these things are swelling up. This is the Q movement and things like that. I'm not saying if you still believe Q is there, but I thought, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I thought part of the Q thing was that the Justice Department was behind the scenes doing this. Now, if that was the case and they were making progress and had all these sealed indictments and they were just about to take the deep state because we were told this would happen just after the midterms, then why in the world would Trump ask for Jeff Sessions' resignation? It's not happening, folks. I do not believe that that thing is happening. This constant faith in government, even the Trump administration. And look, I've got some faith in them, but they're not draining the swamp. They're just not. And to that point, did I just hear? I haven't seen this written down anywhere. When I come in, I sit down in the studio, I pull out all the things that I need for the show, I get my notes, I make sure I've got a pen to write notes. You know, I'm getting situated, but I'm listening to the news break here in the studio. Did I just hear that Donald Trump is considering Chris Christie to be Attorney General to follow Jeff Sessions? Please, please tell me I did not hear that Donald Trump is about to give the Attorney General's position to Chris Christie. A swamp creature, if there ever has been one. Now, I don't know if you're a fan of Chris Christie. There was a time where I got sucked in with him. He seemed kind of plain-spoken, but I think it must have been back when I was a Kool-Aid-drinking Republican neocon. Now I'm just a constitutional conservative. And I realize that Chris Christie is just a player. He's one of the inside people. He may be a Trump supporter. That's absolutely fine. There's plenty of establishment Trump supporters. But for the love of God, I hope Donald Trump does not put Chris Christie in as our attorney general. You're not going to see a whole lot of change from another politico in Washington, D.C. like Chris Christie. Hopefully I misheard that. If I misheard that, please let me know, because that's one of the worst things I've heard all day. I'll be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. I may just be wired differently than people. You know, I don't know. I get nice words about this show. I get good emails from people. I get support messages on Facebook. People call in. I get, I get emails. And it's like people get this show. And I understand it is not, this show really isn't for the masses. I don't know, I don't know if that's good or bad. It's for the people who want to think through an issue. And those are rare. If you're a regular listener to this show, then hopefully you are somebody who will think through an issue and not just react to knee-jerk stuff, to talking points, man. I don't do talking point radio. Well, we are living in a post-truth world, and I'm going to break something down that may or may not be popular. I don't know. I can't do this show any other way. We watched for the last 2 years the Democratic Party deny to themselves what happened in 2016. It is the most obvious thing. Conservatives can see this because it's so blatant. Even if you're not a real deep thinker, you can look at this and say, this Russia story is just hysteria. It's crazy. And you watch the Democrats talk about the Russians here or this or that that influenced the elections, and that's the reason. And they refuse. The Democratic Party refuses to look at the fact that they put a corrupt, wildly unpopular Hillary Clinton at the top of their ticket. The average Democrat refuses to look at the content of the emails that were leaked, not hacked. They were not hacked by the Russians. They were leaked by a DNC staffer. And the contents of those emails show that Hillary Clinton subverted the primary process, stole the nomination from Bernie Sanders, funneled money to her campaign that could have been used for downstream races, and Democratic voters refuse to self-examine. And we have watched this now for 2 years. And on the right and on the conservative side of things, I have watched. I have heard conservatives say, this is ridiculous. I know there are Democrats. A guy named Jimmy Dore, he's a comedian, a real leftist. Boy, he and I could sit down and have a cup of coffee and debate some issues, but the guy is honest. He's a Democrat. He's probably a Democratic socialist. He's got a kind of an entertaining podcast. I listen to it because I listen to both sides. And while I disagree with this guy on many, many issues, health care for all, universal basic income is might be something he agrees in, I respect at least his honesty and his ability to see the political process for what it is. And he goes on and he gets castigated by mainstream Democrats who say, you're off the plantation. How dare you talk about Hillary's corruption and Barack Obama's corruption? But he's refreshing to me because there at least there's somebody on the left that is willing to self-examine. And we've watched this for 2 years now. And I don't know if there's anybody listening to this show, particularly if you're on the conservative side of things, that has not watched the Democrats and thought, what a pathetic group of people that cannot self-examine and realize the mistakes. They didn't have the right platform, and they put up a wildly unpopular candidate, and people hated Hillary. It wasn't the Russians. We just laugh at them for the insinuation that it was the Russians that tilted the election. No, it was your candidate. It was your corrupt, unlikable candidate that cost you the election. I'm leading to a point here. In a post-truth world, you just say things and they're true now, right? The Democrats just say the Russians hacked the election, and they repeat it over and over and over again. And so Democrats, you know, there's probably 40-45% of the population out there that believes the Russians had something to do with the 2016 elections. Because there's no search for truth. It's just said. You just say things. And now I'm watching the Republican Party do exactly the same thing. Tell me if I'm wrong here. I knew this. I think I predicted it out loud on the show yesterday. The Republicans lost the House of Representatives. Now, look, it was not as bad as it could have been. But Maxine Waters is in charge of the Financial Services Committee now. Adam Schiff is in charge of the Intelligence Committee now. Nancy Pelosi will most likely be Speaker of the House now. Are those good things? I don't know. Listen to Sean Hannity. I predicted this would be Sean Hannity's opening tonight.
As always, last night. Welcome to Hannity. All right, jam-packed hour. The so-called blue wave turned out to be a farce. Media, pundits, Democrats, all wrong yet again. President Trump's aggressive, tough campaign strategy, his economic success, foreign policy success, led to political success. Last night, Democrats did win control of the House, but they lost seats in the U.S. Senate, and they also lost several high-profile, enormously well-funded races in states like Texas and Florida and Georgia.
Now, I really could stop this clip every few minutes. Now, look, I'm just trying to insert a little bit of reality here. We have spent 2 years watching the Democrats refuse to self-examine anything. And so they're probably going to make the same mistakes again going into 2020. For the love of God, Hillary Clinton may run again. I don't know. I'd love to see her be a three-time loser, so that's fine with me if she does. I think Trump would destroy her. He just mentioned the great victories in Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Let me tell you something. The exception of Florida. Now, Florida did have a little bit of a red wave. And I don't take anything away from that. Nothing at all. But Texas? Texas is supposed to be reliably red in the first place. There's another thing he says in there. We did pick up seats in the Senate. Now, there's just a small problem with that. In the 2018 elections, favored Republicans in a big way. The GOP will be defending just 8 seats, while Democrats must fight for 23, plus another 2 held by independents who caucus with Democrats. What's worse is the fact that many of the seats that they must defend are in states won by Donald Trump. So the victories in the Senate, well, that's great. That's fantastic. Find any silver linings. Look, I'm a silver lining guy. Bad things happen to me or things that people might view as bad. I can usually find something within it that tells me it's fine. It's not a big deal or whatever. But there is a level of delusion going into this. The Democrats had to defend 25 seats. This was a tough one for them. I have not looked at the makeup of going into 2020 and 2022. You know, a third of the Senate turns over every 2 years. That's the way it's staggered because they serve 6-year terms. The Senate was a cakewalk for Republicans this time. They lost the House of Representatives. And I'm reading tweets by Donald Trump that say people have been calling to congratulate me on my big victory. And I don't get this. Of course, it could have been worse. Now, look, I'm going to say this again. Let me see. I think there's more of the Sean Hannity I wanted to play.
And Republicans, they still hold the majority of governorships all across the country. This, when we put this in perspective for you, you will see why this was such a great night.
The Democrats refuse to self-examine themselves on the 2016 election. It looks to me like the Republicans are too. Now, look, Sean Hannity is big buddies with Donald Trump. He is spinning. He's spinning this situation. And conservatives across the board are spinning it. Now, but for the American people, I don't understand it. Maybe this is how you cope. Maybe people need a safe space. Maybe they need to be kind of boosted a little bit, you know, pumped up a little bit, because this wasn't as bad as they were predicting, no doubt about it. But I ask you again, the Republicans just lost the House with a booming economy and a criminally insane Democratic Party. How is this possible? How is it a victory to lose the House of Representatives to what I am telling you? They are an insane party. They offer nothing to anybody. Now, they're promising a bunch of free stuff here and free stuff there. That's their old playbook. But they campaign on essentially nothing. And I mean, literally, there are Democrats that are just clinically insane at this point. And they still picked up the House. Now, I'm not harping on this. I don't think this is a good thing. But it's like I want to just shake people. What? If the Democrats won't self-examine, why won't the Republicans self-examine? We've been laughing at the Democrats for 2 years. I've got a clip when I come back about Tucker Carlson, and he lays out what the Democrats' priorities are. And it is laughable. It is absolutely laughable. Trump supporters are now being corralled into this idea, well, they will not self-examine. And I've dealt with this on the air for quite a while, and I'm not trying to make myself right. Like, I'm not trying to prove my own point here. I think Trump's tone hurts him. I think the results of the elections the other day were that Trump's tone hurts him. Now, he did take some people across the finish line. He can rally a base. Absolutely. And the people that played ball with him won, and the people who didn't lost. I get some of that stuff too. I don't know the states. I mean, if you're in a state where the population is not largely pro-Trump, then you can't really be pro-Trump and then expect to be reelected. So there's all kinds of political stuff that goes into that. It's an oversimplification to say if you love Trump, you won. If you didn't support Trump, you lost. That's an oversimplification because politicians have to deal with what's on the ground in their districts. But I knew this idea that the Tuesday was a great thing for the Republican Party, a big victory for Donald Trump. I don't get that. It seems like the same kind of delusional failure to recognize the facts and make adjustments as necessary that I've just watched for 2 years with the Democrats. Am I off base with this? Was Tuesday a great day? Am I missing something? I would think that the Republicans would have had a great day if they had held the House of Representatives, if Nancy Pelosi had not become Speaker. And I'm going to break down some of the things that are probably going to happen, too. Last night, the Republican Party defied history. Trump boasted at the top of a press conference, proudly noting the GOP expanded the number of seats in the Senate. This marks the largest Senate gain for a presidential party. He's right about that, I think. That's good news. They had a lot of advantages going into that. I don't even really know if I'm making this point. It's just that I wake up in a world where things are just said and accepted and nothing is examined. And I have watched, and I've been on the side of conservatives and thinking Democrats who just laugh at the Democratic Party, who refuse to take any responsibility for what happened in 2016. They refuse to self-examine their candidate. Hillary Clinton refuses to admit that she got beat because people don't like her and because she didn't visit certain states and that she's culpable of that. Everybody refuses to look at those things, and we have rightfully sat on the side and looked at them and said they are just delusional and crazy. But this crazy party, this party that offers nothing but hysteria, just took the House during a time of supposed a booming economy against what Republicans want to think is a very, very popular president and agenda and all that stuff. Self-examination is a good thing. It's good on a personal level. If little things, you know, happen in your life that you wish the result was a little bit different, you self-examine and you say, how could I make that better next time? But I'm watching person after person come out and declare victory about losing the House of Representatives. Just call, tell me where I'm wrong on this. Seriously, just call, tell me where I'm wrong. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I was looking, dug down deeper into some other headlines, too, just because I was really curious to know what happened yesterday. And here's the thing. Look, I don't understand how the Democrats offer absolutely nothing. They really, I mean, their platform is pathetic. As I keep saying, that the few good things about the left, they've largely abandoned. They used to be anti-war. They used to be pro-civil liberties, at least. They've abandoned those things. The Democratic Party is every bit as corporatist and bought off and paid for by special interest and then pandering with, you know, using envy and jealousy to try to govern with. They're disgusting. So how did they make, I mean, you know, when I saw the blue wave, I've said since the day they've been talking about this, I couldn't see that. I really thought the Republicans would probably hold the House. I just couldn't see what the Democrats have done to possibly move people to their side. But they did. They won the House of Representatives, and yesterday was a nonstop turd-polishing session across conservative media. I think we need to listen to these other headlines. I mean, are these good things somehow, and I just am too stupid to figure this out? Democrats won control of six more state legislative chambers in Tuesday's election and loosened Republicans' grip on some others, but they didn't significantly shift a balance of power that is still heavily favors the GOP. How in the world? There's something that needs to be examined here. Look at the message of the Democratic Party. It's nothing but hate and hysteria. Yet they picked up six state houses. They moved that from Republicans to Democrats. Here's another one. President Donald Trump got a warning sign on Tuesday from the Midwestern and Rust Belt states that handed him the presidency as voters delivered big victories to Democrats and offered a roadmap to the crowd of candidates lining up challenging 2020. Democrats in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan swept the races for Senate and governor and picked up valuable House seats, defeating Trump-backed Republicans at all levels. I mean, there were some trends that are mystifying to me. Look, I'm not, you know, the thing is like I get a little tongue-tied in the show. I stumble on some of my words because I am trying to at one because I know how words can be perceived, because there's so many conservative and Republican snowflakes out there that if you say anything that is derogatory towards the Republican Party or to Donald Trump, people immediately tune out and they view me as some kind of a leftist. I see this in comment sections where somebody will make a well-reasoned comment on some news story, and immediately the reaction from somebody is to call them a libtard. That totally ignoring what they said, and just because it wasn't just a glowing endorsement of everything Republican or Donald Trump, they called a libtard. No, that was a person that was thinking. And there's this knee-jerk snowflake reaction on the right. It's not as hysterical as the left's snowflake reaction, but again, as a fairly trying to be objective observer of this, I'm tongue-tied because I'm trying to get through to people. I wanted the Republicans to maintain control on Tuesday. Because at least they're calm. The left, as I said, needs a timeout. They need to regather their composure like a small child having a temper tantrum. I don't think they're fit to govern at this particular time. Now, there's almost no times in history that I've been paying attention to politics that I would have wanted the Democrats to have control because their policies are terrible. It's all about big government and government controlling your lives, and they know better than us, and I reject that at every level. But at least at sometimes they felt a little bit professional. They've lost that. They need a timeout. They're not fit to govern. I certainly will not allow them to control my life. And so it disgusts me to think that we now are going to have a Speaker Pelosi, and I'm going to get into maybe some of the legislation that's now going to come out of this split House, this split chambers. But can I point out the obvious? I mean, I just watched yesterday as person after person pointed to Tuesday as a great victory. I mean, it seems to me like the same delusion the left has been under for the last 2 years, where they blame the Russians for the loss instead of just accepting responsibility that they had a terribly flawed candidate. Because I'm telling you this, look, I am the canary in the coal mine to you here. 2020 is going to be very difficult for Republicans because our economy is not going to be doing well by then. I'm just telling you, I see the writing on the wall. The Fed's going to keep raising interest rates because they have to, because inflation is starting to bust through. You want to be in a hyperinflationary environment? I know we don't like it when the Fed raises rates, but actually I might talk to Ron Morse about this next hour. The Fed is not the one leading the charge on interest rates. Interest rates are going up whether the Fed does anything or not, and I'll explain that later. 2020 is going to be difficult. You're not going to have the economy to run on. It's going to be about tone and other ideas. And I think they're and as heavily stacked as this last election was in the Senate, where the Democrats had to defend 25 seats and the Republicans had to defend 8. It's kind of logical that the Republicans could make some gains in that scenario. It won't be the same in 2020. There needs to be some self-examination. I mean, this is against an insane Democratic Party. Can you imagine if the Democratic Party wasn't a hysterical mob, what they might have picked up? And I don't like it. See, I have to keep backing up and saying that. I turned on to WYAB, and that guy's a flaming liberal. What's he doing on there? That's insane. You listen, give me any time. Just listen to the points I'm making. I am just trying to inject some reality into this situation. Don't be delusional about things. And it doesn't mean, oh, all hope is lost. It's not being negative. It's being realistic. It's getting to the truth. Sean Hannity, the clip I played you, Sean Hannity is spinning you. He's spinning you. And what happens when you get spun, when you don't accept and you don't do any self-examination, you make the same mistakes again. And I'm telling you, 2020 is going to be much more difficult. Listen to Tucker Carlson. He's right on the money on this, where he's talking about what the Democrats stand for.
The big story, the smoke is clearing tonight for the most expensive midterm elections in American history. The outlines are just becoming visible. The results, it turns out, are confusing.
Let me ask you something. Why do you think they just spent $5.2 billion to get a bunch of jobs that are, what do they pay, $160,000 a year? It just shows you the massive levels of corruption in Washington, D.C., that people would pay $1 million to campaign for a $160,000 a year job. And the reason they do that is because there's so much money at stake. They've really got their hands in the candy. They get to dole out the candy. They take money out of your paycheck and they give it out to special interests. So special interests make sure they've got as much money as they need to get in there and get power so that those special interests can get their money out of your pocket and into their hands. On its face, it just shows the absurdity of the system.
Confusing. It wasn't exactly a draw, but both sides can claim victory, and of course they are. In the House, Republicans did slightly worse than average in a midterm election. In the Senate, they did a little better. Some of the races played out as referendums on the president's first 2 years in office. Other races had nothing at all to do with Trump. In some races, hard-edged ideologues won. In others, doughy moderates did. It was basically a patchwork. There are no obvious takeaways from what happened last night. But there are some useful lessons, and that's what we'd like to spend some time talking about tonight. What exactly have we learned from 470 individual congressional elections, some big governor's races, and a full year of political debate? Well, the biggest news is that Democrats just won back the House of Representatives after 8 years. They are thrilled with that, obviously, and yet they don't appear to have any idea how they did it. As of tonight, there really is no Democratic pro...
That's a fantastic question. How did they do it? I pose that question to you. How did they do it? How did this Democratic Party, with the heads of this thing being Adam Schiff, Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, Michael Moore, how in the world did Democrats just take over the House of Representatives? I ask you that too, because it's a head scratcher to me. Was it based on their ideas? Was it based on their reasoned argument of the debates of the day? How did they do it?
Program or platform or message. There's no Democratic plan for making the economy stronger or the country safer. There's only Donald Trump, whom they despise. The entire Democratic message is Trump. The president is often accused of narcissism, making everything about himself. But on that point, Democrats agree with him. They think everything is about Trump, too. Watch this clip from last night. It had just become clear that Democrats were about to retake the House. It was a big moment. It was really the apex of the night. And at that apex, a senior Democrat called the set at MSNBC to announce his party's top priority now that they have regained power. Here it is.
Well, I've spoken to a senior Democratic source on the Ways and Means Committee who says tonight, breaking news, they do intend to request President Trump's tax returns. Getting your hands on those Trump tax returns, as everyone knows, would be a big deal for the committee.
Getting Trump's tax returns, that's the priority for Democrats, not infrastructure, not wages, not the looming threat of China or drug ODs in this country, the shrinking middle class, not even health care. Trump's tax returns. That's what Democrats really want.
It's, yeah. Tucker, I think Tucker is one of the more objective looks at it. He doesn't come out and declare this a huge political victory for the Republican Party. The fact that they lost the House of Representatives, how is that a huge political victory? He does a pretty good job with it. But see, this is a party has taken over bereft of any ideas, any substance, any sanity, and they won. Does that not require, if we watched the Democratic Party refuse to self-examine and blame everybody else on Hillary's loss in 2016, are we going to be so hypocritical as to not self-examine why the left made any progress whatsoever? I will submit to you, it was not based on their ideas.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
You know, scientists, particularly physicists, I believe, I guess they'd be in charge of this level of science, have determined, I believe, on planet Earth, there are like 12 different, dimensions. And for some reason, our brain is only able to parse through a few of them. We don't have the ability to see all dimensions. So there's things happening around us that we're not even aware of. I'm beginning to believe I'm operating in some different dimension than everybody else because I'm just looking at a whole day yesterday of Republicans and conservative hosts and Sean Hannity coming out and declaring a political victory on Tuesday night as the Republicans lose the House, and I don't understand. I just flat out don't understand this, and I am about to watch the right, which is typical anyway,
fail to self-examine. But this is not new. We go into Iraq, it turns into a disaster, doesn't work out any way they say that it should. We refuse to self-examine, and then we move into the next war, which turns into a disaster in Libya. It's a failed state. They've got open-air slave markets now. We refuse to self-examine our meddling there, and so we move into Syria. We send Syria ends up on the receiving end of just a catastrophic bombing that sends their people fleeing for their lives into Europe in mass migration that's just wrecking Europe. We refuse to self-examine. We talk about the migrant problem in Europe, and it is. It's catastrophic. I can't believe Europe is watching their cultures change because of this. But we refuse to self-examine. Oh, maybe we shouldn't have bombed Syria. And now I'm going to watch people on the right refuse to self-examine the Afghanistan war, which just a couple of days ago, the new commander of Afghanistan said, we cannot win this militarily. That's after 17 years. And people won't self-examine because their leaders, their talking heads, the party points are on to Iran. Iran must go next. Don't pay any attention to the failures of the past. This one we're going to get right. And people refuse to self-examine history in any meaningful way. Tuesday night was not a victory for the Republicans. Yes, it could have been worse. It absolutely could have been worse. I don't know how. The Democratic Party is so pathetic. The fact that they took the House at all should be a ginormous wake-up call, an alarm bell screaming at its highest levels. If this Democratic Party can take over the House of Representatives in the United States, then something is going on that we're not paying attention to. And I am watching people, as of yesterday anyway, as of today so far, we're refusing to self-examine. This Democratic Party, as terrible as they are, just took the reins of power. I've got Ron Morris, head of the Libertarian Party here, coming in. Next hour, we're going to talk about this stuff. I don't know. Ron can tell me where I'm wrong. Anybody who wants to call in and explain to me where I'm wrong, because as I say, I'm in another dimension. I'm just looking at this. I watched a whole day of victory speeches from the Republicans, and I don't get that. Big chunk of the government changed hands to a very dangerous group of people at this particular point. And I don't know, maybe some of it's self-serving too. I have no desire to spend the next 2 years talking about every subpoena that flies at Donald Trump and every soundbite that Maxine Waters does. These people are so boring to me. You're going to see that everywhere. It's not going to end up being on this show. I'm going to have to ignore most of it because it doesn't matter. It's dumb stuff. There's big, important things that are going on in the world, and we're going to end up focusing on this back and forth, tit for tat, Washington, D.C. Maybe it's just that I'm sick to my stomach with that. I'm mad at the Republicans for losing the House for that reason in particular. It's just a self-serving reason. Back in just a minute. Ron Morris, head of Mississippi Libertarian Party. Stay with us.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. And with me, as it is every couple of weeks, we have Ron Morrison here from the Mississippi Libertarian Party. Ron, thanks for joining me.
Glad to be here.
Look, I'm glad you can make the time for us. I know after any election that you, as head of the Libertarian Party, has probably got a ton of media invites, you know, everybody wanting to talk to you because the Libertarian Party, you know, the media can't get enough of y'all. They're always covering Libertarian candidates.
I only get the Mike Madison exclusive. I've already committed to that.
Oh, man. So Danny Bedwell made a run for it. It was close. It was close.
Very, very close.
It was close. I make this pledge to you on air here. Next time I'm in Louisiana or any state that has a lottery. I will play the lottery. If I win the lottery, I will fund a Libertarian candidate to actually put some money into Mississippi. I'd be curious to know if Mississippians can even really understand the message of what real freedom and real small government is about. I think it would be popular if it was couched and people actually heard it. But, you know, we live in a two-party system where they just squeeze out every other possible competing idea.
Well, you know, Libertarians are very efficient with their money. And we're actually the most efficient with our votes. I mean, the money we spend versus what the votes we get. Just imagine we had a quarter of what they're spending.
Yeah.
You know, the war chest of $3.2 million. You can't go against that. I mean, it's impossible. Now, all the billboards, the TV ads.
It's not impossible. See, you're a defeatist. You need we need a Mississippi Donald Trump. You've got to have somebody that is so outrageous, somebody who can manipulate. You know what I mean? Here's what you really need. People like to be sold something.
Right.
They don't like to think about it real deep or do their research or even, I mean, people will vote against their own self-interests if the candidate is attractive and has got a golden retriever and the party apparatus tells them that this is their guy. You know, you need like, if you could find somebody who looks like Mitt Romney, who has the China in a bull shop, Donald Trump, but libertarian ideas, that's like the thing. Can no one like that existing right now?
I don't think that, you know, it kind of goes against libertarian ideas just to kind of do that sell and replace.
Well, it doesn't have to be orchestrated. Right. I mean, you have to find that person that already has the ideas, you know, to be honest about it, but they have to be that breakthrough candidate you cannot ignore. I'll tell you what, I sat there at the Republican. Were you at the Republican debate, the first one that Americans for Prosperity did with the race that Guest just won?
No, I didn't go to that one. That was outside of my district. I should have went that one, but
yeah,
I didn't.
I sat in there and just I was almost grinning as I watched him answer questions with all of the partisan talking points and all that stuff, and really, and some of them did okay. It's not to knock any of them, but I just thought, man, I could make an impression here. I don't know if I would have won, but I could have guaranteed you, if I could have fielded some of those questions, people would have known I was on that stage. They might have hated me when they left, but you know what I mean? There's such a vanilla field in a lot of these things that it just feels to me like it'd be easy to garner some attention if you're really ready to just go out and speak the truth. And if you think you're going to lose anyway, I think this was what Donald Trump did. You know, I don't think he expected to win when he started. So it's a little bit fun for him. Hey, I'm going to go in there and cause a commotion. I'm going to say what I really believe. I'm going to do things that aren't, you know, part of the system because I'm just in here having fun and shaking things up. Man, I think that would be fun.
And I think we do have people that do that. I think even the big government senators and congressmen that we do have, I think they come back and they campaign as libertarians. I think they say small government, you know.
Spending, yeah. Cindy Hyde-Smith, yeah.
I mean, if you look at any of the TV commercials,
they
sound almost libertarianish.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you know, we're going to dismantle the government spending. We're going to kill Obamacare. No. And then they get up there and vote for all of it.
Right.
You know, we're going to. And we need a pro-life candidate up there. And then they vote to spend for Planned Parenthood. You know, I don't know how you can combat that, honestly, because they say some of the same talking points that we have. And then they just do right the opposite when they go to Washington. I don't think anybody's paying attention. That's what I want to wake people up and to shake them. Like, hey, wake up.
Right. Well, they are paying attention because they're chronically dissatisfied. You know, Mississippi just went and voted for Donald Trump. Donald Trump was a reaction. He's, you know, the left gets this wrong. They think Donald Trump is the problem or something. Mm-hmm. He is stirring up this animosity within the American people. That's totally misguided. He is showing the establishment at the Democratic and the Republican level that people were already pissed off. They were willing to go with him over a Bush or a Clinton or anybody else because we're sick of them. So Mississippi supports Donald Trump. I mean, I just don't quite get the logic here. So Mississippi supports Donald Trump, this bull in a china shop. I supported him for that reason, too. Everybody wants to see the establishment shaken up. And then they vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith. And now the Republican talking point is you've got to get behind Cindy Hyde-Smith now because she's our girl. And if we don't, the rascally Democrat's going to get the office.
Well, she is a Democrat. I don't know.
You've got to vote for our Democrat.
But she now has R behind her name.
You've got to your choice in the election. Now, this is what the establishment of Mississippi has given you. Right. Your choice for Senate is either a former Democrat or a current Democrat.
and she was picked by Trump to.
I know.
I don't understand that at all. It blows my mind that she was even endorsed by Trump. But she is establishment of Mississippi's pick. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
She's another scoop of the vanilla Republican ice cream put into the bowl that we always eat, which is just a bunch of empty suit nothingness.
And she does what she's told.
Right.
I mean, that's
absolutely.
She gets her marching orders and she presses the button just like she's told to do. And, they're going to spend the money in that regard, saying she's an advocate for us.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the voting. It just doesn't even make sense.
And I was surprised. I thought McDaniel was going to do really well. I mean, and I couldn't believe the polls. I kept asking for callers, who's this Cindy Hyde Smith supporter out there? Right. But God knows, there must have been a ton of them.
I didn't understand that one. I really thought it was going to be closer to McDaniel. And I do believe he was the most liberty-minded candidate in that race.
But at least he was anti-establishment in this state that seems to like Donald Trump, which is anti-establishment. And then they just whiff and go, oh, we're going to keep doing the same stuff. We're going to let the party powerful in this state pick another candidate for us. And Cindy Highsmith, if she wins, she's going to be there for 30 years.
It seems illogical. I mean, it just seems so illogical that they would be so anti-establishment and not vote for McDaniel in that race.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's just the rah-rah of Trump and his support of Cindy Highsmith. And how could you vote for somebody that will not debate?
Yeah,
they answer to you.
Right.
And they won't get on stage and say, why? Well, yes, I did vote to expand funding for Planned Parenthood. Well, they need to explain that. They need to explain that to the Mississippi voters. They need to say why they voted to expand wars and more spending. Why are we not holding these people to the fire? It blows my
mind. Because it's hard.
It's not hard. We have a ballot. It should be. We don't need term limits. Our term limits are our ballots.
That's what I said that on Tuesday. I said, if you vote Cindy Hyde Smith here, shut up about term limits. Just shut up about term limits. Because all you're doing is you've got a perfect opportunity to exercise term limits on the establishment Mississippi cabal right now in the establishment. Mm-hmm. And they whiffed on it. And I said it before the election. I said, shut up about term limits, because it doesn't matter. If you're just going to take the spoon-fed establishment candidate every 2, 4, or 6 years, then what difference does term limits make? You're just putting one cutout in for another cutout.
Well, and she'll be in there for 30 years if she's elected this election.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And then she will be ever more entrenched in the establishment. And we'll have no choice to get her out, because she'll have so much money. That's where they make their money, is in Congress.
Right.
How does that work?
And Trump will be gone. She'll go up there now and say she does the Trump agenda or whatever, but Trump will be gone in either 2 years or 6 years. So what does she do then? All these candidates who say, I'm just up there to support the Trump agenda, that's just politicking.
Right.
That's suckering Trump supporters into supporting you. So what are you going to do when the Democratic candidate wins? You're just going to do the same mealy-mouthed stuff that the establishment's done under Barack Obama, which is continually increased debt. People want to lay this, did you see how much money Barack Obama put on the national debt while he was in office? Barack Obama doesn't spend any money.
Right.
It's all Congress.
It's Congress.
And it was Republican Congress for a vast majority of that time.
And they love to spend just as much as the Democrats.
Yes, yes. When we come back, we're going to talk about that. There's already some reaching across the aisle, some good bipartisanship, some olive branches going. Strange enough, what they're willing to cooperate on. Was it Ross Perot? Was that him that said the giant flushing sound or the giant sucking sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, here it comes. Talking to Ron Morris, Mississippi Libertarian Party. We'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Ron, so we've got a divided government now. The Democrats have taken over the House of Representatives. Trump is in the White House. You would think that's going to be very, very contentious, but it turns out there's a bright spot. They are willing to be bipartisan. I got a couple stories here. Here you go. In a fig leaf offering of cooperation, Democratic House Leader Nancy Pelosi, fresh off her victory in the House, said she spoke with Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell about working together on infrastructure spending that would help create jobs. Quote, that issue has not been a partisan issue in the Congress in the United States, Pelosi said during a press conference at the Capitol, adding that the Democrats capture control of the House by focusing on health care. No, that's ridiculous. They just focused on Trump. Separately, Trump described what he called, quote, a very warm conversation with Pelosi Tuesday night, but then complained about and pushed the notion that Democrats are out to impeach him, saying that the country is fatigued by investigations into his conduct and warns that if House Democrats push a probe, it will only benefit him politically. All that to say, it seems to me that we are going to have some bipartisan stuff come through this Congress, and it's all going to be about spending.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
I can't imagine what they're about to spend.
Oh, it's going to be probably the biggest growth of government we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And at least in the next 2 years.
And if there's an we're running $1.3 trillion, we're adding $1.3 trillion to the debt every year right now, this past year, and it's expected to go up again this year. And that's in supposed boom times, economic boom times.
Right.
So what is going to happen if we have a recession and the Democrats are holding the purse strings?
That's what absolutely scares me is people we now have in leadership in the House of Representatives, because I firmly believe that there's probably going to be some kind of recession in 2019, 2020.
Potentially severe.
So I believe it was going to be severe. I mean, you can't look at all the economic indicators and have a rational thought in your head and think that it's not coming.
Yeah.
So we just elected a Democrat-controlled Congress. That's scary.
And who's there to resist them now? Now, the one silver lining has been at least Republicans give lip service to not running up the debt when they're not in power. You know, when they're the minority party, the Republicans are very good at speaking out about out-of-control spending. The problem is, when they get power, they just spend more than the Democrats did before.
Well, the key word you said, they like to speak out.
Yes. Yes.
Their voting buttons are completely different. It's right. I guess their mouths aren't attached to their voting levers because they vote to spend just as much. And like that, they
also,
yeah, absolutely. They were talking about raising minimum wage being one of the olive branches.
The Republicans are going to participate in raising minimum wage.
Raise, yeah, just think about that.
Everybody call Cindy Hyde Smith's office right this minute and ask her what her position is on raising the federal minimum wage.
And talking about devastating Mississippi businesses.
Yeah.
It's going to be ludicrous, and they'll probably raise it up to $15. We won't be able to afford anything.
They're going to raise minimum wage into a recession.
Yeah.
Now, you think unemployment gets bad in a recession usually? Wait till you double the minimum wage.
And I think that is probably one of the most perfect storms. And when I say perfect storms, for this to be the worst situation we could possibly have.
Democrats in charge when you hit into a recession.
To me, it's scary.
And Trump's not going to veto spending bills.
Oh, no. He wants to be the person, as a populist, to give out. I mean, he wants to be the rah-rah man. Look at all this. I'm building bridges in America.
Yeah. Well, certainly, though, if they pass a big trillion-dollar infrastructure program, they'll do that by cutting other programs, right? I mean, isn't that how government works? You have a set budget, and you go in and you say, well, we need $1 trillion for roads and bridges, so we're going to have to cut a little bit from here from the military and a little bit from Medicare. And that's how it works, right? I mean,
I've never seen it work like that.
Wait, you mean they just...
they don't cut spending? No.
They don't cut any spending? That's strange. That seems to me that's how it works.
Normally, when I'm at my house and I have a big spender coming up, I have to cut from other areas. I guess they don't play by those rules.
Democrats winning the House provides a silver lining for the president that he could craft bipartisan solution for prescription drug costs and infrastructure, former White House political director Sarah Fagan said. Quote, from a deal-making standpoint, we are all much better off the way it turned out, Trump said at a Wednesday press conference. Now we have a much easier path because the Democrats will come to us with a plan for infrastructure, a plan for health care, a plan for whatever they're looking at, and we'll negotiate. That's what Donald Trump said.
See, what happened when it was all Republican controlled? Why didn't they just do what they wanted to do then? They didn't need the Democrats. They didn't need the Democrats to bring a plan. They were in control. They could bring their own plan and vote it in.
Well, they were going to right after the midterm elections, but right. You know, they were going to actually, this is the real tragedy. The Republicans promised they were going to get to entitlement reform right after the midterms.
Just couldn't have make that happen.
Dag nabbit.
It might have actually helped them in the election if they actually did some of the promises that they...
Well, no. See, what you got to do... See, this is the problem with you libertarians. You don't know political strategy. What you do as a Republican is when you campaign, you campaign on ending Obamacare. But then when you get in, you don't do it, so it's still a campaign issue. So you can campaign on it again from the idiots who will still believe it. Mm-hmm. What you do is you campaign on closing the borders and immigration control, and then when you get into power, you do nothing about it, so that when you're out of power, you can campaign back on it again to get you back in there. It's like it's like a campaign savings account. There's issues that you just keep as an issue, and you just keep them there so that every time if the American people strip you of power, you've still got this. If they solved these things, then they'd have nothing to campaign on.
And I'm sitting here trying to think, what is one thing, one issue that we've solved? Any. I mean, either side of the aisle in the last 20 years. I can't think of any that we've solved.
Well, see, that's because we have do-nothing Congresses, because they won't reach across the aisle. They won't work together to get things done. This is the worst thing I hear people say. Mm-hmm. They just need to get stuff done. They need to reach across the aisle. I'm tired of all the bickering and the do-nothing Congress. Boy, when I hear do-nothing Congress, I'm thrilled to death. I'm like, thank God. But most people think they need to get more done.
Right.
They need to undo things. But when it comes to the things they probably really should constitutionally do, like borders, they've got an argument constitutionally to say, yeah, we should have some defense of our country and the borders.
Right.
But so why didn't the Republicans fix the border? There was another issue. What is the other one? The borders, Obamacare. There was another. What's the other big Republican thing that they didn't get done?
Well, you know, it's always Planned Parenthood or the abortion.
And the Department of Education, they started campaigning in 1986 on getting rid of the Department of Education.
And then they just blew up the budget, like just expanded it.
Yes.
Largest it's ever been.
Largest increase to the Department of Education at the federal level that's ever occurred was this
last
year.
Oh, but we
year.
Need to end them. Well, let's give them some more money. That's how we end them.
Yeah.
We taught them guys something.
We're going to choke them on dollars until they die. Let's see if there is anything else here. Yeah, so KD bar the door, spending is going to be where it's at. Let's see. We've got a caller. Our sarcasm may be eking through here, and maybe somebody's mad at us. Hey, got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am. How are y'all?
Good. How's it going?
Oh, good. I'm just so excited now that we're going to get to drain the swamp. You
know? Oh, yes. Thank you. Finally.
And, you know, $1.3 trillion worth of debt this year, and that's with record incomes coming into the federal government.
Every single month they create a new record of income coming into the federal government. You're exactly right. Yet every month is a record outlay. And let me tell you something, too, that we all need to pay attention to, and nobody wants to because it's a little bit policy wonky and financial markets wonky. I've been reading the headlines this week. People are not showing up to buy our bonds.
by a significant. The people are stopping loaning us money, and this is dangerous when you've got, particularly like you say, the perfect storm now of these people wanting to spend. People are not wanting to loan us money like they used to, which means we're going to have to start offering them higher interest rates. It's going to be a catastrophe.
I wonder why they would want to buy our bonds.
Well, but I also read something about the bond issues, and you know who's a big purchaser of the federal government bonds? All of these different federal agencies.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
They're buying their own bond.
Right.
I mean, it's just a shell game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I should – I need to beef up my own – you know, I'm looking to buy a house soon. I guess I just need to start loaning myself some money, and then I'll have a – I'll be my own best creditor. I'll have all – I mean, it's just – it is insanity. This is where we are.
It really is insanity. And, I mean, $1.3 trillion with debt. And that's with a Republican House, Republican Senate. The Democrats are sitting there going, hell, even we didn't spend this much.
Well, it gives them something to shoot for.
You know, the Republicans that we had up there were the best Democrats we ever elected.
That's right. Well,
none of them practiced anything they preached. But thank God we rebuilt the military.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I think Cindy Hyde-Smith will probably fix it all when she gets there. If we just send Roger Wicker and Cindy Hyde-Smith up to Washington, D.C., I bet you they'll get that spending under control.
They're going to stand next to Trump and drain the swamp.
Yes.
Reduce government spending and reduce the size of the government.
Yeah, and close the border and get rid of...
Build the wall and immigration reform and Social Security reform and we're going to... Yeah.
Well,
taxes. And we're going to cut taxes.
Right, yeah, they did successfully cut some taxes. They actually increased the size of government and cut taxes. That is now the Republican platform. So, sorry, kids. Good luck with that.
Here's an IOU.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, and it's embarrassing. And if you claim to be a conservative, but then you vote for these people that have the R's next to their name, you should be embarrassed.
Well, let me ask you. I'm trying
to. They're nowhere near conservative.
They're not conservative. No. Let me just ask you. We got to take a quick break. But what did you think about Tuesday? Was Tuesday a big political victory for the Republican Party?
Oh, it's huge! It's huge! It's the biggest victory party for the Republicans in the history of mankind.
That's what they're saying.
It's the greatest thing. You know, it really, in all honesty, it possibly could be great for the citizens because maybe, just maybe. We'll have some gridlock, and nothing will get done.
And
that would be a blessing.
That would be a blessing. I hate to say, I think Donald Trump is ready to spend some money on some of these issues that are popular, like infrastructure and stuff like that. I'm right with you. If he would veto some stuff, then this place would come to a screaming halt. I'm just afraid that there's going to be some bipartisan checkbooks flying.
If we thought we spent money on silly things before, you wait, because the pork stuff is just
big. Pork is coming home.
The pork market is going up.
Yep. You're right. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right, bye. Yeah, more good news. I tell you what. You know, if Tuesday was a great election with the Republicans losing the House, how great would it have been if they'd lost the Senate?
that argument makes no sense whatsoever.
None. I mean, I guess it is couched in. I will admit it could have been worse. But did you pay attention to that in the Senate? The Republicans picked up seats in the Senate. That's a good thing for the Republican parties. I can totally understand. It is rational to say we won in the Senate. We picked up seats. The Democrats had to defend 25 seats. The Republicans only had to defend, I think, 8.
Right.
So what the hell do people expect? I mean,
you're supposed to.
That's the easiest. That's the lowest bar you can have for victory. That's not going to be that way in 2020.
No, and that's 2020 is going to be a mess. I do think it's going to be a mess. You think it's bad now? Just wait.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah. All right, others encouraged. Thanks, Ron.
Sorry. I hate to be the best.
I'm going to go get a tissue and go to my safe space. We'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
we are back talking to Ron Morris with the Mississippi Libertarian Party. People are going, what party? There's just two parties. There's only two parties. Let me see what else. Oh, okay, here, Ron. I figured it out. It's taken me a while. I know I am in the... I was just staring at, you know, when I was listening for weeks and weeks now about the fact there was this blue wave coming, and I said, how in the hell would the Democrats pick up a single seat anywhere with what they are right now? Mm-hmm. You know, even giving them some credibility, say, 20 years ago when they were maybe anti-war and pro-civil liberties and, you know, some other thing, and they had some, you know, some decent people in the party that I might disagree with, but they were at least seemed to be, you know, mature, and they had a few statesmen.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just hysterics and right. It's just hyperventilation. I mean, it just was nothing. But I think I figured it out. Here it is. The dumbing down of civilization has been codified in a new study published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. A pair of researchers from Norway found that the average IQ levels are dropping precipitously, and that with each new generation, people in general are becoming progressively less intelligent. After evaluating the test scores of more than 730,000 young men, the Norwegian duo learned that IQ levels are dropping by about 7 points per generation. These findings mirror those uncovered by a separate but related study out of Great Britain, which revealed that IQ levels have been dropping by between 2.5 to 4.3 points per decade ever since the end of World War II. Now, to put this in context, the average American IQ ranges between 90 and 100, okay, mm-hmm. which is, you can tie your shoes there.
Right.
You know, you're not setting the world on fire, but you're okay.
You can operate. You can walk and, you know, chew gum.
So. Keep a job.
Right, yeah.
Drive to the next window, sir, that kind of stuff. Individuals with IQ scores between 160 and 165 are considered geniuses. Those with scores of 145 to 179 are considered, the first are extraordinary geniuses, and then geniuses. 115 to 144 is considered above average. Scores between 85 and 114 are considered average. So America is already trending on the very low end of average.
Mm-hmm.
And we're dropping 7 points per generation.
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
So Idiocracy is from the future. I mean, it was It is preordained as we are going right now. I mean,
it was supposed to be a mockumentary, but it is a fortune telling movie because it's happening.
Somewhere down the line, they're going to look at Idiocracy the way that right now they look at the Nostradamus things, you know, where they say, this man, we don't know what it was about him, but he could foresee the future. Look at what he did. They're going to go, this Idiocracy director, whoever he was, he's going to be heralded in the future as some seer of truth.
But plants love electrolytes.
Yeah. We're going to be all watering. Now, an IQ below 70 to 75 indicates an intellectual disability. So let's do the math. If we're at 90 and we go down seven generations to get to intellectual disability, we are what? We're essentially two generations and then a couple of years after that.
Right.
A little bit, 2.1, 2.2 generations away from actual intellectual disability as a nation.
I think there's a lot of them we already have. Hey,
at least it explains. You know, like I say, I feel like I'm in an alternate universe, but maybe I'm in the right universe. It's just that this is what's happening. Now, I'll take this. I do a natural health segment on Wednesdays.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, this is environmental and food related, and then you add in mass media and you stuff. So maybe that's why people are so easily swayed. Mm. You know, I mean, and I'm actually dropping a little of the sarcasm. And why... people were more informed before. Mm. And it's funny to me that people in the early 1900s, they got together and discussed politics stuff. They actually read these things. And they weren't distracted by all the mass media, so I get it was a little bit easier. But it's kind of funny that now we have access to the internet. We have access to all this information, yet very few people are actually using it to learn anything.
Right. And I think a lot of it is there's a lot of apathy. I know we care about what's going on in the world. And your listeners care about what's going on in the world. But there's a lot of people out there that just – don't care. They think all this doesn't affect them. It's just, and they want to be entertained. And so a lot of this stuff to a lot of people is entertaining.
And you know, I get that. And I don't really don't fault those people. I mean, you know, go live your lives. There's some people who take this too seriously. When I leave here, I study this stuff because I'm really interested in it. Mm-hmm. But I don't fight with my friends on Facebook about this stuff. It's not so important to me that I'm going to lose a family member or a friend over any of this. It's ridiculous. But it's like, there needs to be, you know, that I don't know what it is, 5, 10, 20% of people that need to pull the cart for the rest of the people so they can just enjoy entertainment and they can do other things that we don't want to do. You know, right. there's different things. But it's like the people that are really engaged politically, the people that listen to talk radio or that really pay attention to politics, man, they're just not – they just elected Cindy Hyde Smith. I mean, and they're seem to be a little bit excited about the runoff and her prospects in the runoff.
Well, you know, they get their talking points. They get their marching orders. And I wish they would do a little bit more investigation into some of the things that's happened. I don't know if it's just being the tribalism is so strong.
Well, you know, the media, it's interesting. The media has really made Trump very popular with his base. You know, they rally Trump's base, and Trump rallies the left's base. Oh, I mean, it's
they've
very
got it
bizarre.
Worked out. It's awesome. Yes. For them, they're always in the news. And right. So to have that plus publicity on Twitter all the time, like, can you believe what the president tweeted out today? You're just firing up his base. And then his tweets are firing up the left's base. Can you believe what Donald Trump? It's all smoke and mirrors, too, though. They don't ever talk about anything of substance. They don't talk about policy. They don't talk about how this is going to affect our generation right now. You know, what's going to happen in 2019 and what's going to happen in 2020, let alone 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when our kids are facing probably 60% taxes.
Right. Yeah.
So where does it stop?
Right. Well, I think you may. I know that you work for a living, so maybe you have missed. There is an intellectual roundtable every morning called The View, and they dissect Trump's tweets.
Yes.
So they really are, you know, they're really getting to the bottom of things.
Yes.
And that's the thing about Trump's style that drives me nuts. I'm like, just take the material away from The View. Take it away from that stupid Trevor Noah on The Daily Show.
Right.
Jon Stewart at least was funny and clever. This
right.
guy's just nothing but a Trump hater. He's horrible. He's not funny.
Right.
I just wish Trump would remove the stuff away from them. So they would just have to make up stuff to go after Trump about. They would just look even more ridiculous.
He does give them material. I mean,
he does.
He kind of feeds into it. But I think he wants to feed into it.
Absolutely.
He does not want to not be in the spotlight, whether it's negative from that side or – and it does fire up his base. He enjoys that.
Right.
You know,
I'm telling you, I think it's counterproductive. I think it is counterproductive to trying to increase numbers. It's fantastic for increasing your strong support in your base, your core base. It's fantastic for that. I don't think it's good for attracting new people.
Well, and I think that's the reason why we had what we had on Tuesday.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
I mean, you put out these tweets and you fire up your base, and you do have your base.
Oh, wait, Tuesday, you're talking about the massive Republican victory where they lost the House?
I don't believe that. I wouldn't call that a victory where you lose the House.
You're not paying attention to the news. Sean Hannity said a tremendous victory. Donald Trump was actually, he tweeted out and said he was getting congratulation calls about the tremendous victory on Tuesday night.
Losing control of the House, I don't think is ever good for any party that's call that a victory. It just doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, I'm an independent thinker.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's like being in a car accident and, you know, one of your legs is severed off and someone calling and going, well, they say, well, I've still got one leg. And they go, wow, that was a great night for you.
Yeah, you really won. That's a victory.
Right. Congratulations. That's great. Good decision to drink and drive last night.
Yeah.
You know, you'd had a great victory with it. All right, we'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Final segment here. Always goes by fast, Ron. I found a good analogy for the government as it exists now, particularly with people like Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff in charge of stuff in Washington, D.C. There's two stories. There's one I love to keep going back to. A few weeks ago, I did the story that they found a guy. He was naked in a McDonald's. It was a guy naked in the ladies' room at a McDonald's, and he was doing jumping jacks. And for some reason, that just seemed to kind of encapsulate the whole American experience right now. Just abject. It's just something you just look at and you go, "What is going on?" You know,
it's like a circus. None of it makes sense. It's just wild.
Right. It's a naked man in the ladies' room of a McDonald's doing jumping jacks. That's what it is. Yeah,
that's a really good analogy for what's going on.
Right. Well, I've got a new one for this new government. This is a story that just came out, too. 14 sailors from the nuclear reactor department of the aircraft carrier Ronald Reagan faced disciplinary action in connection with LSD abuse, Navy officials confirmed this week. So basically, you have a bunch of people in charge of something really massively, potentially destructive that are out of their minds. And that's exactly what our federal government is at this point. You've got Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi. Essentially, it's like they've got their finger on the button, whether it's a financial button, you know what I mean? They're holding the keys to the kingdom right now, and they're clinically insane.
Absolutely clinically insane. I hope that at least they can get some policy talk to like actually look at policy, but that's not going to happen.
They don't have time for that.
They don't got time. They got to spend a lot of money.
Right.
You know,
and they got to send those subpoenas out and all that stuff. You know, and see, this is the thing that frustrates me, that libertarian as a party or even more as a philosophy does not catch hold more. Because what is more common sense than thinking whoever keeps voting for Maxine Waters, obviously somebody's voting for her.
All right.
I don't want those voters that are voting for Maxine Waters in California. I don't want them making any decisions on my life. I don't want them involved in how my kid's school is run or what I do with my money or what happens with anything to do in central Mississippi. Yet this big federal system means that that Maxine Waters' constituents somehow have an effect on central Mississippi.
I wish that like the elections on Tuesday wouldn't even phase like. Who cares if we send to Washington, D.C.? They don't have any teeth. They don't have any effective policy. Besides limit, don't get me wrong. There are some policies I do believe that they should look at. But it shouldn't be this is the end of the world kind of scenario. It shouldn't be. We shouldn't be spending trillions of dollars on political ads.
Apparently in Switzerland, do you know the Swiss system? They've got some kind of a rotating thing. I need to get more familiar with this because I find it fascinating. They've got like a group of six or eight people, and the presidency shifts from one to another.
Right.
If you go to Switzerland and ask them who the president is, by and large, they won't know. Not because they're uneducated,
because
they don't care. Because
the
president isn't in their business all the time. And the government of and they are very prosperous, very safe. Very well armed. They're a free, prosperous people, and they don't know who the president is, and that's a good thing because the president doesn't affect their day-to-day lives.
Government shouldn't affect your daily life at all. And, you know, when you have California voters that affect Mississippi voters, because it's completely different.
Right.
Anybody that voted for Maxine Waters, I don't want them affecting my life.
Right.
And we've let that happen.
Right. Absolutely. And we participated in it. I mean, it's this mass brainwashing where everybody thinks – and so that's why every 2 years is a Super Bowl. It's just everybody's all keyed up. Yes, because what's going to happen? I mean, I find a real patheticness in the idea that everybody in the country sits around with bated breath for one Tuesday in November because they know they're about to find out how much of their own income they can keep. And they're not ever going to say no to it. They're just going to pay it and just, gosh darn it, I can't believe those libs got in control. Or thank goodness the Republicans gave me 5% of my own money back. I think it's hilarious that the Republican Party bribes Republican voters with their own money.
Seems pretty easy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, really ain't going to cost me anything. Yeah, you can have your money back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they bribe people with their own money. And that is a downside. The Republicans were just about to pass another 10% tax cut if they had just gotten voted back in for the midterms, but I guess that's off the table.
Yeah, now they have a scapegoat, right?
They had 2 years to do it. They did pass one. They passed one, but they've had, you know, they could have followed it up with another 10%.
That's the Republican victory. They have an scapegoat now.
Right.
They don't really have to carry out their promises.
Right. And exactly. And they can get all their spending and blame it on somebody else. It's tough. They probably were sick of taking the heat for all of the spending. Now they can still get all the spending. What they'll do is they'll go in and say, we want the military. Let me ask you another question real quick. We've only got like a minute left. There was a headline here that
it just said Trump has convinced the NATO people to spend more money. Germany has just increased defense spending by something like $5.6 billion. And this is at Trump's urging. You know, he went over there and told NATO people, you need to pay more of your own fair share. Why, if NATO is now paying more money towards their towards NATO that we've been almost exclusively funding, or funding the, why isn't our military budget going down? Because if they're paying more of that expense, it seems like we should be saving some of that money, but our budget's still going up.
Well, it's just it's nobody cuts anything at all. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. Again, nothing in D.C. makes sense right now.
Yeah.
Not that it made sense for a long time, but you know, it's just it's off the rails spending. It's just printing money. It's fiat money. You just print more, right?
And it's stunning to think that these Republicans now are going to be in the minority. Go back to campaign on the exact same things that they didn't deliver on for the last 2 years, and the people are
going
to buy it.
We're going to end Obamacare.
Yeah, yeah. Any day now. Any day now. Well, I appreciate it. You were extremely good for my mental health. Callers during the break were good for my mental health. I thought I had gone insane, but maybe I'm just. You know, or into another dimension. It's Ron Morris with the Mississippi Libertarian Party. You're going to get him next time.
Next time.
Next time for sure. Republican senator from Mississippi. That's all the time we got today. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.